Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. For the Lord is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Thank you for all those who are streaming live on Facebook, those who are watching on YouTube Live, and as always, those who are here in the congregation. I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. We want to thank God for seeing a brand new day, another first Sunday here in the month of October. But I also want to acknowledge the shepherd of this house. He has been a shepherd of this house for 16 years. 16 years. And we have been blessed by his leadership. Blessed by his study. You see, a shepherd's job is to ensure the safety of his flock, ensure their well-being, and ensure their health. You know, this provides, that means providing them with food and water, guiding them to fresh pastures, protecting them from predators and all types of hazards, dangers, seen and unseen. And the pastor of this house, he feeds us with the true bread of life. He equips us with so that we're able to put on the whole armor of God. He provides us with the word of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So we thank you, Pastor. We love you. So today we just want to say thank you for leading this flock for 16 years. So we want to give him a special blessing today. And for all those who are here, all those who are viewing us via YouTube and Facebook, I just want to say that during the offertory period, if we can be a special blessing to the shepherd of this house who has guided us faithfully for 16 years, just giving back to the blessings that he has provided to us. Amen. Amen. And at this time, we will go right into our communion service. First, we will have the reading of our scripture by Brother Weish, followed by the confession of faith by Deacon Todd, and prayer of the sacraments by Reverend Radcliffe, in that order. Thank you.
Good morning, church. So the scripture I'm reading is 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 34. Can we all see it? Okay. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if I were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read our confession of faith. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. But as I read through it, let's think about what this confession really says, right? So repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.
God, our Father, who in wise providence have bountifully blessed us. Lord, we thank you. But above all, we thank you for giving us your love. You loved us so much, you gave your only begotten Son. And now, we have a right to the tree of life. Because of your love, and we say thank you, Lord. As we pray over these supplements, first forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, Lord. As we take this communion, knowing that his broken body, the bread that we take, Lord, we say thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the grape juice that we take, realizing it stands for your shed blood. Lord, you said as often as we do this in remembrance of you. Thank God, thank God. Amen.
You may be seated, and at this time we will have a selection by Sister Leah Reed.
Hallelujah. 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 We're so grateful to the Lord for what he has done, what he did on the cross for us. And so because of what he did, we are able to be in that relationship with our Father. And we are so grateful. And so we know that we want to live for him, that we want to be used of him, that we know anything that we go through in this life, we know that he's always there. We know that he's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're just going to sing an old Sunday morning medley as requested. So that way, as we're celebrating Pastor Ford and the work that he has done. And so we're grateful how the Lord is going to use him and how he's been a soldier here in this army of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm a soldier in the army. There we go. I'm a soldier. 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 I got my war clothes on. I've got my war clothes on. I've got my war clothes on. I've got my war clothes on. Oh, God is a good God. Yeah. Oh, God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. I said, God is a good God. There's a storm out on the ocean and it's moving this way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely slip away. There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Drift away now. Drift away, Lord. You will surely drift away. If your soul's not anchored, you will drift away. Drift away, Lord. Drift away, Lord. You will surely drift away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anyhow. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anyhow. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, anytime. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, anytime. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Give him glory. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Something about the old school stuff that just gets in my bones. The new stuff is for the new, but it's something about the old school stuff. So at this time, we're going to turn this service over to the shepherd of this house, Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. What a joy and a privilege it is to see your faces again. What a joy and a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me start by saying thanks to everyone for all of the wonderful comments and remarks. Thanks so much for our Deacon Abrams this morning. His wonderful remarks regarding my time here as pastor. What a joy it has been on Wednesday nights to receive your comments at the conclusion of Bible study from members, from guest pastors. All of that stuff has been a surprise and also very encouraging to me. One of the things my grandmother used to tell me when I was young was that folks don't have to be nice to you. She would tell me that. She said, don't, you go in expecting that. Said, nobody owe you nothing. Nobody owe, no, you know, obligated to be nice or be kind or say kind words. It's grateful if they do, but they're not obligated. You know what I mean? And, so anytime, I feel that I can receive any type of, warm remarks or kind regards, I am always extremely grateful, extremely grateful. So I just wanted to say that before we jump into things. So glad for our sister Leah and brother Joe Reed. Let's thank God for them. Mighty man of God. I'm going to be checking in with you after service to see how our team did yesterday. Okay, I'll be checking in. Your mom said there was a lot going on. I said, all right, I'm checking on my team. I'm not supporting the other teams. I'm supporting my team. So I'm going to be checking in. But thank God for their faithfulness. We love Bible Union. Amen. So with that, let's jump right into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I believe they have us up on the big board. We're in the book of Joshua. If you heard the one call message this morning, while this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and like I said, I appreciate everything you have done and will be doing, but also it is also our rescheduled Men's Month. Because we weren't able to pull it off in June as a result of my travel schedule, we had to rearrange it, and so we picked October. So these two trains are going to be running parallel, and so it's Men's Month, and so I'm so glad to see all of our men here. Come on, let's thank God for all of the men in the house of God today. What a wonderful sight to see a church full of men. And this month, let me say this up front and out clear so everyone gets this. It's Men's Month, and this month I am going to be preaching with a focus on young men. Okay? That's my angle of focus this month. Not men in general, but specifically young men. And again, What a joy and a privilege to have so many young men. Aiden, get Aiden up here. Young men in church. And if there's any other young men out there that I'm missing, send them up front. But I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing that all month. So I'm telling you that so that if you have access to a young man, right? And by young man, I'm basically saying anyone under, you know, under 35, you need to get them and get them in church because I'm going to be preaching to them. I'm going to be, and I'm going to be preaching, for them. Okay. So you're going to want to get, so I just wanted to get that out, shared it on the one call, but I wanted to share it to the church in general. Amen. So if you have your Bibles again, Joshua, the first chapter, that's where we're going to take our primary text from. The witness is this morning going to be out of the book of Exodus. So the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, the 33rd chapter and verse 7. Okay? And again, it's my custom. I want everyone to have their own Bible. So if you're here and you don't have a Bible this morning, just slip your hand up. We'll get you one. Because again, I want you to see what is written in the Word of God. It's powerful when you can see it and read it yourselves. Amen? Everybody in good shape? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, right? And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. In every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Just a footnote, there is a thing known as bad success. I'm not going to work it, but people say, what is good success? But good, what, there is something that you can have bad success. Okay? And that, it's another day and another time. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. That's the word of God, and may it be consecrated to your hearts. The witness, Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verse 7. Get ready to get you off your feet in a moment. So Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone in to the tabernacle. It came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Good God, help us. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all of the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Good God. Can you imagine that? Are you reading this? This is why I want you to read it. Don't take my word. Look what the word, the Bible said Moses spoke with God face to face. Now notice the imagery. And Lord, I don't have time to work this outside of the camp. But notice the imagery. The tent is outside the camp. Moses is in the tent, right? The pillar, the cloud of fire, the pillar that represented the Shekinah glory, it comes down. Moses is in the tent. The cloud is at the door. Moses is speaking to God face to face, and the people see what? The backside of God. That's all they can see. The cloud, which was once up in the sky and would lead them, when Moses went out to the tabernacle of meeting and went inside, the cloud would descend. It would close Moses inside the tent. Moses inside the tent, no doubt with his face covered, would be in the presence of God face to face. And the people, the Bible said, everyone got up. Anytime Moses, everyone, and they stood at the door. And they looked outside the camp. And there in the distance, they would see the cloud come down. And they would see the hind parts of God. The backside of the cloud. Right? Now this is what Lord knows, whatever. But this is what I want you to get. That's not even that. I don't want you to lose that. That's such a wonderful, here it is. Here it is, verse 10, I'm finished with it. 11. So the Lord spoke to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That means when he says faith, they were close. It wasn't like Moses is way over there. No, here it is. This is what I want you to get. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, I did all of that for these three words. A young man. Did not depart. I wish I had a real church. That's the sermon right there. But you got to get the imagery. The Bible uses specific words for a reason. It's just not, I don't know how else to say it, but they use it. The imagery, get the imagery. The tabernacle of meeting outside the camp, and I don't have time for that this Sunday. Moses, the man of God, goes out to the tabernacle, and he only goes out when God wanted to what? Talk to him. goes out, God closes him in. Right? Speaks to Moses face to face. The people who are all standing outside their tent, no one is asleep, no one is at home watching YouTube. Everybody is at high alert because God is outside the camp and they can see him with their own eyes. Are you following this? And this is all I want you to get. Tent, Moses, God, people. This is all I, if you get this, you get the whole sermon. Next to the tent was a young man. Not an old man. Not the high priest. Not any Levites. Not the heads of the families of the 12 tribes of it. No. The only person given the privilege to have a front row seat. All the people saw it at a distance. Why? The camp, the tabernacle of meeting was set out, way out, in a distance. But one young man had a front row seat to the presence of Yahweh himself. And if you get that, I'm telling you, you got the host. I don't need the preacher. That's the sermon. That's why I added it to the witness. But you gotta, what I'm talking about, you gotta sense in your spirit. Because if there's no other way to get it. One young man . The tent was here. He was right there. He was close enough that if he could do it, he wasn't able to do it, but if he could do it, he could touch the cloud. That's how close he was. And God chose him as a young man. Not an old man, not an important man, just a little young guy on whom Moses depended for help. And because this young guy was faithful, that's where he was. Everybody else way back, Joshua was right there. Then, Lord help, I'm eating all my preaching time up. Not only was he at the tabernacle, but when the conversation ended, cloud goes up, Moses comes out, Moses goes back in among the people, but not Joshua. Did y'all read what it said? Very like, so young man, and Lord knows I can't preach this. If I could, I would. Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. He's privileged to be there. Listen to what I'm about to say. But he's restricted from leaving. I done gave you so much of the sermon, literally, if I walked in there, none of y'all could say the pastor didn't preach this morning. I preach more in what I've done in the last 8 minutes than I've done all month. But you gotta be in the spirit to get it. You follow what I'm saying? That's why morning prayer is important. That's why power up in, but it's not just an exit. No, no, no. You got to show that when the word comes, you're already in the spirit to it. The Bible says this, he that has an ear, let him hear what the spirit saith to the church. In order to hear what the spirit says, you got to first be what? You got to be in the spirit. Me saying it with a microphone doesn't help you hear it. Me yelling and screaming doesn't help you hear it. Me walking up and down now does not help you. I do that because it helps me. The only thing that's going to help you, you gotta come, good. You gotta come in the church ready. You gotta pray at home before you leave. You gotta pray once you get in the house of God. Lord, give me ears to hear why you would choose a young man to be that close to you. What was it about him? And if God chose him as a young man, what is to say that God will not choose you as a young man? You. That's why you gotta have an ear to hear. That's why you can't be on your phone. You can't be daydreaming. You can't have your mind. You gotta understand God's talking now. You gotta hear what the Lord is saying. Holy Spirit, you've already done so much. Now grant unto your manservant the physical strength and the spiritual energy to convey your word. And I pray this Sunday, as I pray every Sunday, both for myself and for the people. Simple prayer. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And give us a heart to obey. This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of Christ, our soon coming King. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. The book of 1 John, the second chapter in the 14th verse says, I have written to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. John also says, I have written to you young men because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now, turn our attention to our text. The fleeting moments that I have. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. If I would say anything out of that first verse, I would say this. While we may die, God does not. When we die, oftentimes our plans, our visions, our dreams, they often die with us. But not so with God. Why? Because God never dies. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, the plans of God, the purposes of God, the will of God, they continue to move forward. They just move forward with a different person. I hope you hear what I'm saying. The plans, the purpose, and the will of God, they, unlike ours, does not die. Lord, you got to have a mind to read the word of God. Listen what he says. Moses, this is what the Bible says of Moses. One, we just heard what he said, that Moses was a personal friend of God. And we got the witness of proof. He spoke with him face to face. Came down to Moses' house and met with him there. That's Moses, right? The Bible says of Moses, that Moses was such a great deliverer that when you read the Old Testament, specifically in the book of the law books, they speak of Moses as a foreshadow of Christ. The Bible says this, that God is going to raise up another one like unto Moses. It says that, I think his numbers are, that's what he said. But there's going to be another to the people of Israel. Moses was a deliverer. Moses was a, it was Moses that went up against Pharaoh. Moses that stretched out his rod. Moses that got, it was at the hand of all of the miracles of Israel that occurred at the hand of Moses. Moses was that guy. So much so, they likened the future Messiah to Moses. That's what they said. He said, I'm going to raise up another like Moses. He said, it'll be one of your own brethren. It's going to be someone out of your own tribe, your own family. Right? And the closest thing I can give you as a comparison, he said he's going to be like Moses. But this great leader died. And with him, all of their hopes, all of their dreams, all of the stuff that he told them, God said in the tabernacle of meeting. Because when Moses came out of the tabernacle and went back, he told them what God said. And now he dies. And I don't even have to be there to know it. When he died, all of their hopes and dreams died with him. Who's going to go to the tabernacle of meeting now? Who's going to stand before God for us now? Are you with me? Here it is. So now, he's talking to Joshua. And this is what he says. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, arise. And go. I told you the plans of God don't stop. I mean, God literally, you got to get the imagery. He buries Moses in a mountain. With his last motion, he puts the last pile of dirt on Moses. The last, boom. And God immediately turns and start talking to Joshua. No mourning. The custom was to mourn a great man of that 40 days. The dirt was, the stuff was still rolling off the pile. And God turned his back. And the Bible said he began to immediately speak to Joshua. Why? Because the plans of God keep going. God keeps moving. You got to understand, we serve a moving God. He's not standstill.
If you go back to where God was, that's what you're going to see, where God used to be. I don't ever want to be where God used. I want to be where God is now. I want to be where God is moving now. Moses is dead. Starts talking to Joshua. He said, look, get over the Jordan, you and all the people, to keep moving towards the land that I'm giving them. Right? He began to say to Joshua the very things he said to Moses. Move the people forward. I have promised Abraham and his seed a deeded land promise. And he says, you got to get there. So I know Moses is dead. Moses' job was never to take you into the land. Moses' job was to get you to the land. They're at the land. They're at the Jordan. Their possession is on either side. Two tribes on this side, 10 on the other. They're there. That's why Moses' job was done. But now God needs a new leader to now lead them into and to conquer and subdue the land. Are you with me? All right, here it is. Let's get down to it. This is what God says to Moses. It says to Joshua. He said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I said to Moses. Right? You guys with me? You see that in there? The first thing I want to tell my men, my young men, is that God has given you promised success. And I got the witness to prove it. Joshua, now I will say this, just so you guys don't come and get me after service. At this point in Joshua's life, Joshua is an old man. At this point in his life, Joshua is 90 years old. And he dies when he's 110. He's only going to live. So he's on the back half of his life. Okay? I want you to know that. I want you to know that I know that. But what I want you to know in my mind, just anytime I think about Joshua, I'm always drawn to the fact that so much happened in Joshua's life when he was a young man. So just me personally, not, I always view Joshua as a young man because so much happened in his life. That stuff I read in Exodus, that's just a little bit. You read that stuff. He went to spy out the land. He went with, he fought the Amalekites when Moses was up on the mountain. When Aaron, I mean, all of that stuff happened when he was a young guy. So much of the biography that we know about Joshua occurred when he was young. Now, this particular season of his life, he is older, right? And I do recognize that. But like I said, so much of my memories and the accounting of Joshua's life occurs when he's a young man. So even though he is old, I'm viewing him as a young man. And as a young man, I want to say to every young man, I want to say to every young woman, right? I want to say to every older man and to every older woman, God has given us promised success. We don't have it yet, but it is promised. And I got the witness to prove it, right? Look at what's in this. When I read this, it jumped out. I mean, it smacked me in my face. Listen to what it says. Every place the sole of your foot will tread. Are you with me? Future tense. It didn't say every place your foot has treaded. He said every place the sole of your foot will. He said wherever you walk from here going forward. Are you following me? Look what it says. All right, look down. Look what it says. He said, wherever you will tread, he says what? I have given. What's that? Past tense. You. He said, Moses is dead. You're my new guy. And he said, the only thing I'm going to tell you is that I'm giving you promised success. And he said, here's my promise to you, Joshua. Wherever you walk, right? This is what he's saying. He said, I'll give you that land as an inheritance for the children of Israel. Are you guys with me? Promised success. You don't have it now, Joshua. You're still on the other side of Jordan. But I'm telling you, at the beginning of your assignment, I have guaranteed success for you. Right? If you believe, if you can hear that word and believe that that is God speaking to you, give God a hand clap of praise. Again, you got to be in the spirit. He could be speaking to you and you not hear it. But if you're in the spirit, you hear promised success. You realize Joshua was a young man and that God was guaranteeing him future success. Are you with me? The Roman writer tells us that what all things, that's the word of God, what work together. What for the good? For who? For them that love God. Right? That's why I said this part. If you have an ear to hear it, this promise is for you. Look at somebody and ask them, say, do you got it? That's God's word. I could literally stop at any point in the sermon and I've already preached. If you just walk out of here with that, just knowing if I leave today, God has guaranteed me future success. It's worth coming to church already. So that's what he says. Then he says this. He says, from the wilderness, from Lebanon, to the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, even down towards the great sea and the setting of the sun. This is what he said, shall be your territory. Here it is. You've got to make this leap of faith. He's already given you promise success. So your job as a young man, I'll go this way, young man, one young, two old, one almost old, he's already given you promise success. So now listen, Joshuas and Joshuettes. Look at somebody telling Pastor Ford's preaching this Sunday. Literally, you need to text somebody and say, you need to come to church. Look, I don't care. Come here in your pajamas. The pastor is preaching today. Joshua's and Joshua's, he's already given you promised success. So now, this is my advice to you. Think and pray big. Why waste a guarantee from God on little stuff? I wish I had a real church, Rob. I wish I had a real church. Why waste the promise, the power, the potency of the Yahweh God on little trivial stuff? If God were to give me a promise of guaranteed success. It is my job to think and pray big. Look at somebody and just tell them, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. It's not big enough for God to get involved. It might be big enough for your sister to help you. It might be big enough for your girlfriends to, you know, put out a GoFundMe page. But it ain't big enough for God. If you want God to get involved, you got to make sure you supersize it. Look at somebody and say, supersize it. Supersize it. Supersize your dreams. Supersize your goals. Supersize your hope. Supersize your vision. Supersize where you want to go. Why? God has. Not big enough. Again, if you have ears, hear what I'm saying. It's not big enough. Here it is. When I thought about that, think and pray big, I was reminded how in the church a number of years ago, how the prayer of Jabez became such a phenomenon. And it became such a phenomenon, it was as if God just wrote it. It was there all along. Turn to First Chronicles, Old Testament. We back in the books, guys. The First Chronicles, Old Testament. You got a phone, a Bible, you got it? First Chronicles, Old Testament, 4th chapter, verse 10. The prayer of Jabez, which a number of years ago swept through the church, and everybody was talking about the prayer of Jabez. I don't know if you remember that, but everybody was talking about it. Everybody was preaching about it. Everybody was writing about it. They were having conferences called the Jabez. I mean, just literally, I'm not joking. It was as if God just wrote it. The reality was, it was there all the time. But the body of Christ just, at that point, really stumbled on him. Let me read this prayer of Jabez. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, or my territory, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." What I love, it says, and God granted him which he requested. I want you to read it. That's the prayer of Jabez. Anybody, look, not a long prayer, not a deep prayer. But what a big prayer, right? Listen to what he said. He said, one, I don't want anyone else to bless me except you. I don't want no job to bless me. I don't want no 401k to bless me. I don't want any doc. He said, the only person I want to bless me, he said, God, is you. So now, right off the bat, he's what? He's asking for a God-sized blessing. Right? He's thinking and praying big. Then look what he said. This is where everyone got to go. He said, then I want you to enlarge my territory. You can read this prayer. Watch this. Joshua. And not think about who? Joshua. God told Joshua, wherever you go, wherever your feet, all your feet have to do is touch the soil. God said, that territory I will give to you and the entire nation of Israel. Jabez was thinking and praying big. He said, God, enlarge. Your problem is you want God to give you a house. You want God to give you a certain job. Really, what you want is you want God to give you territory. That's what you want. God, give me territory. Give me an inheritance large enough, not only for me in my life, but give me an inheritance that'll be a blessing not only in my generation, but in future generations. Jabez thought and prayed big, and God answered. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Then I'm done with it. That's enough there. If you put your finger up and tipped out, you got enough. You got enough, I'm telling you. Here it is, verse 5. I got to keep going. He said, Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you. He said, as I was with the man you saw me talking with every time at the tabernacle meeting. He said, Josh, do you remember how I spoke to him? I spoke to your spiritual father, faith. Nothing between us. He says to Joshua, as I was with him, so I will now be with you. And that meant something to Joshua, because what? Joshua saw it. And he didn't see it at a distance, miles away. Joshua saw it up. You don't understand. He was literally outside the door of the tent of meeting. If he wanted to, he could have put his hand in the cloud. That's how close he was to it. And now the same Yahweh God speaks to him. He says it the same way. And Lord, I don't have time for this. This is what you got to get, young guys. God is always working. God is always, anybody get what I'm saying? He's always working. There was a reason Moses chose Joshua. And it's not for what you think. He chose Joshua because God said, get Joshua, the son of Nun, and let him serve you. Why? Because God was working. As a young man, God was positioning Joshua to be in a place and to be in a position where he could see God up close. Why? Because he was going to need it. Moses just doing Moses stuff. This is what Moses did. Moses did two things. You can sum up the last, he did 120, the last 40 years of his life. He did two things. He prayed for the people, and he complained about the people. Read the last, that's all he did. Literally. She's laughing because she knows it's right. That's all he did. He either was praying and interceding for the people of Israel, or he was going to God saying, this stiff-necked people of yours. He disowned them as a friend. He said, they're not even kin. They're your people. And look how crazy God is. God would say, no, they're your people. Right? That's all he did. In that last 40 years, while Moses was complaining and praying for Israel, a young boy named Joshua got to see God up close. Why? For what God was going to call him to do. So that when God says, as I was with Moses, it means something more to Joshua than anyone else. No one else served that close. No one else was outside the tabernacle, the door. No one else was restricted from leaving. Matter of fact, he wasn't restricted from leaving. No one else could even come to the tabernacle. It was Moses and Joshua and God. No one else invited. No one else included. Why? Because God, even then, was what? Preparing him. Look at somebody and just tell them, God's preparing me. It may not look like it. All I do is hand the pastor a towel. All he ever wants me to do is pull weeds. All he ever asks us to do is take our trash out of the basement. But I'm trying to tell you, God is preparing you. Even in the mundane things of life, he's preparing you. Look at somebody and tell them, God's preparing me. I got to keep going. Here it is. So with that, be with you. So I was with him. I'll never leave you. So last time I gave you promise success. With this verse, you have promised protection. I just told you, I've given you promise success. All you got to do is walk on it. It's yours. And now, he says, I'm giving you promised protection. No man killed Moses. God took his life. No Amalekites. No Hittites. None of his enemies killed him. God simply said, your assignment is over. The witness tells us that God took him up into the, and God buried him. Not his brethren, not his kin folks. His enemies couldn't go. We've killed Moses. We've killed the man of God. Israel is ours. No. Nobody killed Moses. How important for Joshua to know that. Why? Because now Joshua is getting ready to do what? Joshua's getting ready to go in the battle. He said, look, the territory is yours. All you got to do is walk in it. But the land is preoccupied. It's not vacant housing. It's not an unwanted property at the corner. No, that nobody wants anyway. When you go into that land that is flowing with milk and honey, he said, you're going to face giants. Giants are there. People who dislike you are there. But God says, like I was with, I will never, he gives him promised protection. Because Joshua and the people are going to have to fight to receive
the things of God. And if I can have $1 for every time I try to get the people of God to understand that. The promises of God are ours. But you must fight to obtain them. And I don't mean fight with spears, swords. I'm not talking physical violence. What did I tell you when you came in here at the beginning of the service? You got to be what? In order to receive the things of God and hear the word of God, you got to be what? You got to be in the spirit. You got to be in the spirit to hear the instructions of God. Why? Because it's going to be in the spirit that you're going to have to fight with God on your side. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? What I'm saying is so critical to your future success in God. God's going to be with you. He's going to be by your side. But you are still going to have to fight to obtain the things of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of witness says, what is suffer is violence. Right? Those that live by faith, they what? They got to take it by force. And nobody giving you nothing. The only thing you get is what God has promised. But you don't get it simply because God, Joshua's got to do. Joshua's got to walk in the land. Who's waiting at the edge of the land? Your enemy. Say, no, you're not coming up in here. Up in here. Up in here. That's the remix version of the Old Testament. Ain't nobody just laying down, letting Joshua just walk up in here. The only person that Joshua was important to was God and Moses. Nobody else give a damn about Joshua. I don't care whose son you are. I don't care how long you've been out there. They didn't care about this. Get out of my face. The Bible said the land was flowing with milk and honey. You know what that means? That was land people were willing to fight for. Because the economy was good, strong, and could feed a nation for years. They wasn't about to just lay down. Little crazy Joshua coming here talking about, God said, wherever my feet tread, you guys are going to lay down. And whatever. I need a real church to preach in. Y'all laugh too much for me. I'm trying to give y'all the things of God and y'all. Look at somebody and tell them, preach, Pastor Ford. Regardless of whether they say amen, Joe, or not, preach, Pastor Ford. This is your mouth, Pastor. Preach the way you want to preach. Y'all better leave me alone, for I might just do that. And it would be grievous for you. So now six. This is what he said. Now this is the sermon right here. I'm finished. Here it is. Verse 6. God says, be strong and of good courage. Oh my goodness. God is a linguist, one who studies and specializes in language. Pay attention to the wording God uses. He says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Here we go. Here we go. Help me preach it. Just find somebody and just tell them just that. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance of land, which I swore to their fathers to give them.
Verse 7. Look at verse 7. How many of you know your God's not dumb? He said, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Even as heaven is above earth, so are my ways. Look what God says. A new verse. A new thought. Right? Look what he says. Instead of saying something new, he repeats what he's already. Look what he says. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Then I said, you know what? I got it. I've been preaching long enough to Khalil now. When I be strong, courageous. Verse 7, be strong, be vet. I said, you know what? I got it. I got it. I've been preaching long enough. I got it. I see where God's going. And so in my mind, I said, he said, be strong, be very courageous. Because now Joshua is about to engage in battle. You got the story. You got the book of Joshua there. All Joshua does the first 9 or 10 chapters is fight. That's all he does. That's all he does. One nation after another nation after another. For years, they just engage in hand-to-hand combat. No gangsters back then. If you want to do it, we got to do it face-to-face. You ain't driving by here. You're going to come over that hill. We're going to meet in the valley. That's how we're going to do it. You got to show me how bad you want, because I'm just not giving it up. So I said to myself, God, I've got it. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be vet. Why? Because Joshua is about to engage in the fight of his lifetime. And I assumed, Jacob, that the fight was going to be a physical confrontation. And in reality, it was. But that's not what God was talking about. I made a bad assumption in my study. I thought that. But then as I kept reading, look what he says. He says, only be strong and very courageous. But then he says, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do you see it? What he was telling him, to be strong and courageous in was not in battle. As I falsely assumed, what he was telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous in literally. He doesn't say get your sword game on. He doesn't say get a big shield. I want you to be strong and courageous and be very courageous in all the law that Moses commanded you. What the law was then to them is to us now the Bible. Are you following it? Joshua, I need you to be strong in the word of God. Joshua, I need you to be very courageous. Not in battle. Not in warfare. Not in the valley with them. What I need you to be courageous about is that when you read the word of God, be courageous and do it. That's all you got to do. He said, Josh, I'm giving you the keys to the battle. This is all you got to do. Be strong in the word. You got to know the word of God. Right? And then once you get that word, once you get your ears open and you hear what God is saying, he said, now you need courage. You know why you need courage? Because everything God wants you to do, your enemy is going to tell you not to do. And you've got to have the courage to fight against temptation. You got to have courage to pray when you don't feel like praying. You've got to have courage to come to church when no one else comes, because God's preparing you. You've got to have courage to serve in the things of God, even when they seem mundane. The greatest thing about Joshua he never quit. And I don't mean in battle. For 40 years, he served Moses. Never got recognized for it. 40 years, while the rest of the children of Israel went to the feast and the celebration, Joshua, no one brought him any food. Because God restricted him. He confined him to the tabernacle. He couldn't go. All of Israel was celebrating. They were remembering the Passover. They were killing lambs and eating unleavened bread. All of the cousins came over and everybody was at the house. He was absent so long from his family, after a while, they didn't even ask about him. As a young man, but he never quit. Without recognition, without praise, you follow what I'm saying? He never quit. That's my message to all the young men, to all the old men, all the young women, all the old women. What did John say? He said, I write to you because you're strong. And he said, the word of God abides in you. That's what the enemy's after. He's after the word that's in you. Because if he could get that word out of you, then he can cause you to quit. And never receive the promises of God in your life. Imagine if Moses died and Joshua wasn't there. Imagine if Joshua quit along the way. He was never there. That's the challenge as a young person. Hear me and hear me well. The enemy wants you to quit as a young person so that when your season comes, you're not there. And the promises of God fail to be performed in your life. Not because God is weak, but because we are weak. And during the fight, we what? We lost courage. quit. Went after other gods. Here it is. Let me keep going. Let me get out of this. There it is. He said, only be strong, courageous, observe to do according to all with Moses, my servant. And look what he said. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Look at somebody and tell them, stay straight. The best thing all of you people have going for you today is what? You're in the house of God. And this is literally the best thing that has happened to you all week. Because you're in the house of God, that means you get to hear what? The word of God. And because you're in the house, and because you get to hear the word of God, that means inside of you, the Spirit of God starts moving. You don't even have to do nothing. That's why I keep telling you, it's so important to hear the word of God, because it activates the Holy Ghost inside of you. That's why the enemy is working overtime to fill the ears and attention of all our young people. Why? He doesn't want them to hear. So in order to block what he hears, he fills their ears with other things. So that by the time the word of God comes, their ears are filled with what? Wax. And they can't hear. And the Bible says their ears grow dull. They grow dull because they can't hear. And they can't hear why? Because so many other things not pertaining to godliness has pre-filled their ears. And so today, at least they're in church, great. But how many of you are at jeopardy? Even though you're in the right place, even though you're hearing the word of God, you still can't hear. Look at somebody, say, stay straight. You get that wax out of your ears and let the word of God begin to penetrate. Go through the earway passage and go through and get down into your heart and let the seed of the word of God find good ground in you. Then all you got to do, here's the game plan. Look at somebody and just tell them, stay straight. Every parent, look up here at me. Every parent in the sanctuary, online, the best thing that you can do for your children is take them to church. Hands down. Better than the education you provide them. Better than the extracurricular sports you put them into. It's better than robotics. It's better than STEM. Are you following what I'm saying? It's better than getting them a job at the local hardware store or supermarket. All of those things are good. I'm just telling you, the word of God is better. Because when you bring them here, they are going to hear the word of God. And your only requirement is to what? Bring them. The Bible said, train up your child. One of the parts of the training is what? Get them accustomed to what? Going to the house of God. Soon as their friend, oh man, we get ready to go on Sunday. You ain't going. They're like, why can't I go? Man, you got church on Sunday. It's good for them. It'll pay dividends in the long run. And all you have to do, and all I have to do is tell them one thing. Stay straight. What did John say? John said, I write to you young men. Why? Because you're strong. And what? The word of God abides in you. How did he know that? Why? Because they went to church. And they were taught the things of God. Whether they wanted to hear it or not. Whether they liked it or not. At least they were exposed to the things of God. So now all I got to do is tell the young men, just stay straight. You're on the right path. You got it. Just stay, follow it. Joshua, just observe to do what I told Moses to do. Are you with me? Look at three people and just tell them, stay straight. You're already on the right path. You're already headed in a good direction. Just stay straight. He told Joshua, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Just stay straight. He said, everything God promised will come to pass in you. All you got to do is stay straight. Don't let the enemy cause you to deviate and go off course. If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Be strong, very courageous. Not in battle, not in war, not in fighting, but in the word of God. Observe to do all that is written, spoken to you by my servant Moses. Here it is, I'm finished. 8 and 9, I'm in the home stretch. So the question becomes, how do I stay straight? All right, Pastor, I'm here. I don't really want to be here. I want to be with my friends. They doing something for the Eagles before the game started. Now I'm going to be late. They having chicken. We were going to play a football game before the Eagles game, but now what? I miss it. Why? Because I'm at church. All right, Pastor, I'm here. And so I want to know, how do I be strong? How do I be of good courage? How do I do it? You got my attention. Give what is it? Here it is. I'm glad you asked. That's the question. Here's the answer. How do I be strong? Here it is. Verse 8. Look what verse 8 says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may follow the sentence structure in the transition. Make sure the law is in your mouth. For anything to be in your mouth, it must first be where? It's got to be in your heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance, right, of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your mouth always tells the truth about who you are. It never lies. It can't. The book says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, whatever in your heart comes out your mouth. So he says, let the book of the law not depart from your mouth. Then he tells them how to get it in your mouth. He says you must meditate in it day and night. Reading the Bible along with me on Sundays when you come is simply not enough. It's not enough for you and it's not enough for them. But you have to now restructure your life and prioritize the word of God in your life. Somehow, some way, you got to find a way. And I know y'all got a lot going on. A lot of things grabbing for your time, for your attention. I know it. But God has already given you what? Promised success. He's already given you promised protection. He's already encouraged you to think and pray big. Your only requirement, you got two requirements. One, you got to meditate in his word. It's the only way you do it. Then look at the sentence structure. It says, that you may. That you may what? Observe to do all that is written. Listen to me. Your ability to obey the word of God is directly related to your time spent in the word of God. There's a direct correlation. So the more you meditate on his word, the more you're able to observe and obey his word. So that over time, it becomes easier to structure your life in a way that pleases God. It's tough at first because you're young. Got other things fighting for your time, other places you want to be, other people you want to be around. And I know it. I've been there. I know what it's like. It's tough. But if you could find a way, if your parents could help you find a way to spend more time in the Word of God and in the house of God, each day it becomes easier to follow the word of God. May not believe me, but it's true. I'm telling you what I know. He said, if you meditate in it, he said, then you'll be able to observe everything that is what written in it. You'll be able to do it. It won't seem hard. It won't seem strenuous. It won't seem worthless. Then the Holy Spirit will help you make the connection. The success I'm enjoying in life is connected to the promises God has given me in the Word of God. And all I got to do is what he told Joshua, is walk in them. That's all I got to do. Joshua had to walk on physical land. What you as young people have to do, you have to walk on spiritual land. And by spiritual land, I'm just being coy just by saying, just got to walk in the things of God. Just got to do the things that God tells you to do. Right? And we get down to the end. He said, what if you do these things? He said, what? You'll have good success. I told you in the beginning of the sermon, there is something known as bad success. You see it every day on the news. People you and I look at and be like, man, they got it all. Suicide. Man, we look at them, oh man, this guy's got it all. Next thing you know, he's killed his wife. But they had success. They had the same success you want. They had it. But it was, it wasn't good. They paid a price that no one should pay. But because they weren't in the Word of God, they're unable to enjoy good. Here it is. I'm going to do this meditating. I'm done with it. I got two more pages, but I'm finished. I'm done. Why? Because I got a hear. I got an ear. Right? He's saying, that's enough. That's enough. It's enough. I'm not going to go. I'm going to work this meditate. Verse 8, you shall meditate in it day and night. What does it mean to meditate? When I hear that word meditate, just immediately, instantly, my mind immediately goes to Psalms 1. That's why I meditate. Right? Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the Lord. Help me. I better stop here. Don't go no further, Pastor. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that can resist doing what his friends tells him to do. I wish I had a real church. The majority of our friends, the majority of our family members, co-workers, give us ungodly counsel. And I know it's ungodly. You know how I know, Aiden? They don't go to church. If they don't go to church, where are they getting godly counsel to offer you? They're not. So by default, their counsel is un or not from God. God said, this is what the Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Every last one of them, we're getting counsel from the ungodly. That stuff on our phone is counsel from the ungodly. They're not encouraging us to do godly things. They're encouraging us to do ungodly things. And what? We're filling our ears with it. We're filling our eye gates with it, such that when the word of God does come, we what? Can hear. Hear that song? When I'm finished, this is it. Stand up. That's how you know I'll stop. Stand up. That'll make me quit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What happens, if I had the ability to demonstrate it out here, you would see it. What would happen if a car came down here, jammed on its brakes, and at the end of it you heard a loud crack? What would happen immediately? All of us would look out, and then immediately what? Run out. Watch this while I'm preaching. Y'all a funny church. Y'all laugh at anything. But if that was somewhere, y'all would immediately look out. And then in the next breath, all of you would run out. Like I said, and I'd be here preaching to myself. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. We're drawn to things that captivate our attention. That screech and car crash is nothing more than an incident in our life, someone else's life. It immediately captivates our attention. And we find ourselves standing in the way of sinners. A number of years ago, I was coming down Spruce Street or something, sitting at a light, waiting for the light to change. And God put life on slow motion. I'm at the light, whatever it is, 55th, 54th, wherever I'm on. And I could see a young boy. I'm at the light, but the street spruce goes up. It's a young boy on the sidewalk riding his bike. And he's riding entirely too fast. Sitting there, I'm watching him coming down Spruce Street. And the further he gets, the what? He's going downhill. If he's not braking, all he's going to do is keep picking up speed. That's only gravity's going to pull him down. And this kid is going. And it was literally, God, it was like slow motion. Just, he's going faster and faster. And I said to myself, this is what I said. I said, if he doesn't stop himself, he's going to enter that intersection. And I said, a car is going to hit him. He's going fast. He's on the sidewalk. He's between other cars. Other drivers won't be able to see him. He's going to come out of nowhere. Flash, he's in the intersection. Car took him out. I had a front row seat. I was the first car in the light. And I saw it happen. And it didn't happen quick. I'm sitting there. I'm like, this kid, he's not braking. He's not slowing down. There's nothing to prevent him from going into that intersection. And that's what happened. Car hit him. Boy went flying. He went one way. The bike went another. And just like I told you, there was a screech. There was a bang. Like that, it was over. People in the neighborhood started flooding out to the corner. Everybody coming out of their houses, the corner store. Everybody was coming out. Boy hurt. Bike destroyed. Car stopped for a moment and did what? And then kept going. So, oh my God. And as the people flooded the intersection, people began to talk more about finding the driver and suing him. Then the limp body of the boy laying in the street. I know because I was there. That's what they began to talk about. Yes, they came out and they called 911 and all that. But the more and more people got, and you can imagine, if you ever been in one of the people just, they literally come out of nowhere. There was literally nobody on the corner. It's the middle of the day. I come home from, and come leaving from the office doing whatever. And people just start flooding out. Flooding, flooding, flooding. That's what the conversation was. I was mesmerized. I was standing there until I couldn't move. Windows down. I heard the conversation. That's what they were talking about. And I found myself standing in the way of sinners. Took the boy's mother to come out of the house and embrace him before anyone took note of care as to how he was. I'm telling you what I know. I was in the car. I was on the street. My window's down. I heard every word. More concerned about suing. More concerned about getting money. More concerned about getting paid. And in my car, I found myself standing in the way. Just like so many of you. How many times do we find ourselves on every side we're surrounded? Why? Because no one's taking their kids to church anymore. Parents aren't going anymore. So there is a spirit of ungodliness that is taking over the world. And we find ourselves standing what? Right in the middle of it. It's all around us at work. It's at home in our neighborhood where we live. It's in our neighborhood where our church is located. There's sinners what? All around. And if we fail to be strong and very courageous about standing on the word of God, we'll find ourselves joining the very people that God saved us from becoming. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Stop. You got to hear what I'm saying. I want you to hear me as a spiritual father. Learn to shut your mouth. It's another thing my grandmother told me. Said, if you don't have something nice to say, as a spiritual father to my young men, to my young women, my teenage girls and boys, parents, grandparents, learn to shut your mouth. You do more good keeping your mouth closed than speaking. I got the witness to prove it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way or the company of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what that means? You join in with other people who are degrading someone else. You sit. Move over. You sit there. I'm going to sit here. Sit down, Aiden. And let us together make fun of Christ. Now I have sat down in the seat of the scornful. And now we're going to double team and use our mouth to destroy another person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I give you two pieces of advice. Don't sit down and don't open your mouth. Listen to me. You're looking and thinking it's easy. It's not easy when everybody is talking about Bryce. Jackson's talking about, Jacob's talking, they're all talking, and they say, and next thing they know, I just. Why? Because I'm in the company of sinners. Then I get overwhelmed by peer pressure. And wanting to fit in with the guy, I do what the guys are doing, even when it's harmful. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? And don't look at these young guys and say, no, it's you. Nobody can harm you with their mouth better than a church person. You hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I know. If I had a nickel for every person I had to counsel because of what someone in the church said, not your job, not the choir, not the, in the church said about you. And all of us are confused because you said, Pastor, if we come to church, we'll hear the word of God, we'll do the word of God. So how can the people of God be so cruel and brutal? all because they fail to meditate on the Word of God. So when they speak out of their heart, but there's no Word of God in their heart for them to bring out. So they speak that which they what? No. What is it that they know? They know what Aiden said. They heard what Jackson said. They heard what Jacob said. They heard what Norm said. They heard what Rob said. So that's what they speak. That's the treasure they draw from. And now, instead of helping someone, you're hurting someone. Why? All because you chose to sit in the seat on the scorn. When you just could have just known, I'm not going to say that. No, I don't feel that way. No. The Word of God says, think on these things. Things that are good. Things that are pure. Things that are of a good report, of a good, think the best of people, not the worst. Stand a little longer, I'm almost finished. But his delight, this is how you do it. How do I resist sitting in the seat of the scornful? How do I resist running out to the intersection and now being among a group of sinners, all looking to get paid? How do I resist that? How do I resist that tide, that momentum pushing me in that direction? He said the only way is to delight in the law of the Lord. How many know anything you like, you keep doing? You got to learn to like the Word of God. Here it is. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. So much more I can preach. I got two more pages of notes. Forget it. God said, that's enough. Message delivered. Be strong and very courageous. Not in fighting with your hands. Not in terms of being verbally abusive with your mouth, along with all your other friends as you put down. Don't you join that crowd. Your crowd is the people of God. I want everybody, turn around and look. I want you to look at everybody. People in the front, look forward. People in the front, look back. Look around. This is your crowd. We're all trying to get that. We're all trying to go in the same. This is your crowd. This is where we come to feel safe, to feel comfortable, to know that we have friendship and fellowship, right? And fellowship. Where we have communion, commonality. It's the body of Christ. That's why we come. Right? And every day we pursue this, is every day God answers Jesus' prayer. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, he asked his Father this thing here. He said, Father, make them one, even. You are I are one. The only way we can ever become one with each other and with Christ is if we be strong and of good courage. Not in fighting, not in battle. But in the things of God. That's the war cry for us. That's the challenge for all of our young men, for our young girls, our teenage girls, teenage boys. That's the challenge for us as older men, and for us as seasoned women. Where are the examples of godliness? Examples of righteousness. God is, we're the new Joshuas. You. Be strong
and of good courage.
Going to ask everyone to get your sacraments in your hand. If you can open that for me, Rob. Thank you. If you need some, just slip your hands up. Sister Lillian's going out. Whenever, if you have the sacraments. And I remind you again as your pastor, the Lord's body is for the Lord's children. It's not for strangers. It's not for those that are far off. For you to participate in this part of the service, you must accept Christ as your personal Savior. Got to admit to Him that I'm a sinner and that I need your salvation. And your faith must be placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. No other thing. And if you have done that, or if you make a decision to do it now, you can do it. You can do it. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You're here today. You want to make that proclamation. Will you slip your hand in the air? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just slip your hand up. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. Today I hear the Lord's voice. Look, hands going up. Hands going up. That's how I know my preaching hasn't been in vain. The Word of God, the Gospel, has done exactly what God said it would do. Why? I see hands up. Hands going up. Today, Christ is now your Savior. Today, your sins have been forgiven. Today, I say unto you, be strong and of good courage. Not in your youth, not in your strength, not in your ability, but be strong in the things of God. I'll be speaking with each and every one of you. We thank God for your confession of faith. To those that are of the body of Christ, we're reminded that on the night before his death, the Bible said he took bread. As was his custom, he blessed it. And then, as was his fate, he broke it. Symbolizing what would happen to his own body in just a few hours. He said to his disciples, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. And I say the same to all of you. The Bible says, after the same manner, he took the cup of thanksgiving. He blessed it and said, this represents the new agreement, the new covenant. That law which was written and given to Moses has been replaced by a better covenant that is now written on the hearts of believers everywhere. He said to his disciples, drink ye all of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for giving us a hope that goes beyond the grave and reaches to the high places up in heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our older brother. Thank you for looking out for us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being an extension and example of the Father's great love towards us. Now, may we respond in like manner, with like faith and like love, the agape love. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to entreat and care for one another. And Lord, above all, make us one with each other and with you and the Father. This is our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. At this time, we're going to have young men come. What a privilege to be your spiritual father. But what a privilege to be a father to my own sons. So now, Jacob is coming. He's going to instruct us in the manner in which we ought to give. Open your hearts, not only your ears, but give liberally, that the things of God may continue in the house of God. After that, my middle son Jackson is coming. He is going to read our church announcement. It is the first of the month, so I do ask that you give him your full attention to hear and know what is coming in the days and weeks ahead. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving this morning. You may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text to go, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you'll receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. Postal Mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you'll find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes / offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You can give also via Cash App at Pastor Jonathan Ford and Venmo at Jonathan425. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Good morning, church. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday and everyone on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. Remember to hit the subscribe right there on YouTube page or follow us on the Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. And for the announcements for this month, on the 11th, usher board meeting/training for all who are interested in serving. The pastor is encouraging all young men to attend and serve. On the 17th, men's fellowship meeting at 7 p.m., third floor of the church. Pastor Ford is asking all men, young men, and teenagers to attend. Dinner will be provided. On the 19th, join Pastor Ford at Open Door Baptist Church for their 76th church anniversary. The service begins at 11 a.m., and the anniversary lunch will be served at 12:30 p.m. The address is 1632 North 26th Street, Philadelphia, PA 19. 121. Pastor Ford is asking all members to attend. There will be no service at Taylor Tabernacle that day. On the 26th, our very own Langdon DeSources will be christened during our morning service. Come and celebrate this wonderful occasion. Choir practices for all ages, first and second Sunday after service. Please see Sister Alex for questions. Pastor Ford is asking all members, family, and friends to join him online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening this month as we study Ephesians. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child the second through fifth Sundays. Attention parents of students in first through fourth grade. Wiley's primary Sunday school is moving to in-person meetings following the Sunday school schedule. We will meet on the second, third, and fourth Sundays at the Taylor Tabernacle from 10:45 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. Our first meeting will be on October 12th. What will happen during primary Sunday school? Lots. We will read God's word, memorize scriptures, and learn about God by looking at his creation. Please see Sister Zakia, priest, for more details. And then our last announcement, we have the angel tree this year. There are 91 days until Christmas. Now is the perfect time to begin planning to participate in this year's prison fellowship, Angel Tree Christmas. Please consider purchasing a gift for a child between the age of 1 month to 18 years or volunteering with the Angel Tree Committee or donating gift wrap and bags. Additional details will be provided in October. Thank you. And the pastor for the benediction.
Okay, we're going to have our pastor come out for the benediction, but I believe I'm calling Deaconess Elena up. Amen. Because what is this month? Right? Is that right there, right? Right? Amen. Amen.
They have something for you, Pastor. That's why I'm not giving you the mic.
All right. I'm going to say something first. Holy. So, Pastor, from the White family, we want to thank you so much for being our pastor. We joined when you became pastor, so we've also been here 16 years. December 31st, 2009 is when we joined. My kids were young. Robert was 9, Deanna was 10. 2 years prior to that, my mom had passed, and I was going through a lot of stuff. And coming here, it just really helped me grow in God. And to stand where I'm at today, even to have my kids here, I just thank God for you, for every message that you've brought. One that stands out to me, it was in 2019. I was looking over my notes. I found the certificates. I couldn't find mine, but I found Robert. And I was looking at them, and I just was looking, and it was talking about, hold on a second, about unity. That's what it was talking about. And it always sticks out to me that's what drew me here, was the unity that I seen when I walked through the door. And so I just thank God for being here. And on behalf of the whole Taylor family, this is for you. And we thank you, we love you, and we appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
As I said at the beginning of my sermon, I'm grateful, delighted, and moved beyond what you would believe by your acts of kindness and generosity. It's a Sunday. I was saying this at the church when we were out at Gospel Light. Most of the gifts, or all of the gifts, often go to my wife, but she's not here today. She's working, so this. I'm gonna take the file. I'm not even gonna put them out. I'm gonna put them in my room on my desk. All that. But no, thank you for your kindness, and especially to the White family, because they have, and in 16, 17 years, they have become one of the cornerstone families of our church, and so we thank God for all of them. So just a couple things I want to say before we stand for the benediction. One, I alluded to the fact that I had more sermon to preach than what God had given me or allowed me to do. One of the things, as I was talking on meditate,
You've heard me say before that I never desired to be a great pastor or a great preacher. What my heart's desire is to be a helpful pastor and a helpful preacher. One of the things as I was preparing the sermon and I began to get drawn in on meditate and meditation, again, eye towards young people, I said, I wonder how many young people know how to meditate. And I thought it would be, again, helpful if I put together something that would at least give some framework for how you might be able to meditate. And I didn't have time to work it out in the sermon, but what I have done, I put together a one page on how to meditate on the Bible. Okay? What I've done, Rob has just a handful of copies, and I intentionally didn't give out many, one, because I didn't have enough ink in my printer, but two, wait. You're going to give them out only to people who want them. And this is where I'm going with that. This handout will be in the email newsletter that's going to go out today, and you'll have it electronically. So if you are here and you get our church, it come out every week, recapping the service, a link to the service and the sermon and the announce, all that's in there is going to come out. And today, this handout in hard copy will be in that email newsletter electronically. You can download it, forward it to your friends, but you can have it. I really brought this for those that might not be receiving them or are active on email. So if you're here and you fall into that category, to you, Rob has a handful of copies. Okay? And then for everyone else, you have the electronic copy that you'll get in a matter of hours after the conclusion of the service. Rob, when we finish, I do want you to give it to our young men, though. Them I want to have. I want them to have it. Any extras can be for whoever. Amen? So that's that, how to meditate on the Bible. I think you will find it helpful in including that in your devotion time. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm thankful for everything that has been given and will be given to me. Notice that I said will be given. That's a promise of future success. That's what that is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But even as you bless me, I thought it a wonderful opportunity for me to bless you. Today, everyone's going to receive this paperback of this story called The Comeback. It's yours today. That, Brother Rob, will be giving to everybody. And all I ask is one thing. Just read it. You're going to be blessed by it. That's all I can say. You'll be blessed by it. I know it's not electronic and everybody wants to do everything on their iPad and iPhone and all that. Got old-fashioned. And I'm going to tell you like all the teachers used to tell me when we got a new book. What's the first thing your teacher always tell you? Put your name in it. Right? Don't let nobody snatch it up and say, no. Get your name on it. This is your territory. So that's for everybody. That Brother Rob, will be giving to everyone. Okay? So we have that. Hey, I'm going to do one last thing, and you guys can stand for the benediction. I guess I got to do it. Come on, Todd, let's move this table. Okay, great. We can stand for the benediction while we're standing. We're going to ask Courtney and Christina if they would come forward. Courtland Bellamy and Christina Rook, if they would come forward.
Y'all letting the secret out. I'm not. I'm the one telling the joke, not y'all. You guys come right center, right center. I'm gonna put those house shoes on anyway. So today I had the privilege of saying this a couple weeks ago, and so I'm gonna say it again. Now I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Cortland Bellamy. There it is. There it is. So we thank God for them and their union. And we thank God for what He is doing in their life. And how in just a few days, right, a new Bellamy will be in the house. Come on, give them your best. Let's thank God for them. Thank God for Cortland. Thank God for Christina. Thank God for their families. Thank God for them being in and a part of our church. Come on, look heavenward now to Him who alone can present us faultless before the Father and the host of heavenly angels. Christ Jesus, by your power, your blood, consecrate us now. Make us holy, even though we're unholy, by your righteousness of your shed blood. Make us holy. Cause us to stand faultless in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Lord, we thank you for these two that have come to your house and to your presence. And have committed themselves both to each other and to Christ. Thank you that their lives are hid in you. Thank you that wherever they go, you have given them promised success, promised protection, and fruitful offspring. And to you we give you all the glory, all the honor. And all the praise. People of God everywhere say amen. 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 Come on, love on everybody before you go. While you're doing that, young men, after Rob gives out these books, please, I need all the young men to see Brother Rob. We do have some quick assignments we have to do. All of the young men report in to Brother Rob afterwards. You can help him hand out the books. Bryce, be sure to check in with Brother Rob. I need you guys to do some stuff for me after service. Help them pass the books out, guys. Yeah, everybody gets a book. Make sure everybody gets a book. If you need a copy of How to Meditate on the Bible, you got to ask Rob personally for that.